It's time for Civic Thrills with Richard Hills.
Morena, Richard, how are you?
Morena, I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretending to be Mikey, but I won't ask you to pretend to be Mayor Gough because I'm sure that's probably illegal in some form.
Yeah, I think it is.
Are you having to do many kind of public events, ribbon cuttings or anything while Mayor Gough is otherwise busy?
No, I think this is the only thing I'm taking off his hands. I think the Deputy Mayor has been busy trying to cover all Phil's usual engagements.
Oh, well, lucky we have you then. What's your week been like?
Week so far, I actually had Sunday off, which was amazing. So went to the Domain, hung out with family, Saturday had UN Youth in the city. And yesterday, what do we do? Just meetings all day.
What's UN Youth?
The UN Youth, it's like a whole lot of young people. They had a policy conference, Auckland, but it was focused on the Auckland plan and Auckland's future. So I came and spoke and then sat on a panel and discussed council things to younger people.
Is this like the unitary plan or just the wider plans for Auckland?
Oh, the refreshed Auckland plan. So sort of like the wider plan for Auckland, which includes obviously the unitary plan goals. A sort of wider around social services as well as transport and environment and everything else we've jammed into the plan.
Were you inspired? Do you think the country's going to be left in good hands? Well, the city, rather?
Do I think? I guess if we step up and sort of, I think this year's 10-year budget has kind of stepped it up a bit, especially on transport and water quality and environment. So it's just always whether people are willing to do things faster and pay a bit more and sort of thing.
I guess that's what I mean, though. I often find that when you're with kind of university politicians or youth UN assemblies and the like, you're like, oh yeah, I do have hope for the future. These guys are great.
Yes. I had an interesting meeting last weekend on the car park, but this was awesome to have a whole lot of young people talk about Auckland's future and kind of challenge me as well, because being the youngest councillor, but I'm actually older than all of the people at the conference that day, so it's sort of challenging my where I fit on the younger people spectrum of Auckland now.
Right, of course, you would have been having quite a micro conversation about a single car park with a lot of considerably older constituents versus a much more macro conversation with very young people.
Yeah, definitely, it's always good to be flexible with what I say in meetings and the questions that are asked.
Good pendulum swing. I'm sure something that comes up in most of the conversations you have, civic-wise, is money. And money in the press with regards to Auckland Council, there's been a bit of a concern about where it's going to come from. Obviously, Auckland needs a lot of money. It's still growing. And two of those places... One is, are we going to divest ourselves of some of our parks? And the other is a kind of, well, I guess it's been called the bed tax. Any dwelling that's being used on a site like Airbnb, or rather, having to pay a higher tax to the council. How are these things trucking along?
Yeah, so first of all, the parks one, that gets a bit complicated, but we have to do these things called Section 17 reviews, which is in government legislation that we had to review every department and look at their value and how we can either, so it might not be monetary value, it might be how do we use these spaces better. There's been a discussion about golf courses, you know, how if in the future do we turn those into parks that people can access, or football fields, or do we just leave them as golf courses, or do we own them as run them as council so we get all the profit, or do we continue?
Quite a few of them, aren't there?
Yeah, I think 38 or something. So none of those decisions have been made, and I guess this is the tricky thing with council. So people will bring a report with like all the different options, which is good. We should have all the options, but I think some elected members and some maybe media jump on the most controversial,
the scary ones,
and say, look what they might be doing, and it's kind of like, well, we kind of need to know all the things we can do. I mean, I would be opposed to selling parks, but I'm not opposed to, you know, things like using spaces better if they're not being used, or say, in Takapuna recently, we did a swap where it was two long strips of land, and a developer said, well, how about I give you this big kind of open space if I can have those two tracts of land and build on them. So something like that, those two long strips were never being really used, but if you could use about the same land size and so sell it to him, buy that bit off, and then that's a bit of use of that space. Otherwise, you're just mowing two long strips of land that are kind of unusable, and then you can use a park. So, and the other one, I see there's, it's kind of slightly misrepresented what it is again, is like what it would
that's
be.
That's what we do in the media, hi.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's down on paper, but it's sort of for the next 10-year budget, so the discussion
right,
is 3 years.
Right.
If you did this, you could, so it's not really about like making money. It's sort of if you sold $200 million worth of land, even though we're buying about $1.7 billion worth, but if you took those bits that you're not using very well, you could choose to do $200 million more stuff over here. So it's just a decision. Like, no one's forced into those sorts of things. But it's sort of like when Auckland Transport or NZTA do a big roading project, and often there's leftover land. Generally, it will just get transferred to parks and it will sit there and get mowed. You probably can imagine some of those things in your own community where it's just a strip of land or next to a dairy or something that's never used, and it's just mowed every, like, it has to be mown every 2 weeks or whatever. Is there a better use? If the community says no, then that's fine. But if you could sell those two strips of land and buy another bigger park that actually people will use, then right. Is that a better use? But as soon as you say,
so it's like an inventory and seeing whether you can consolidate and make things better.
Yeah, but right. That's really hard to explain in a headline or when a politician's making a speech. So it's kind of, so they kind of all get lost in the wind, and everyone's like, "Why are you selling all the parks?"
Panic.
Yeah.
I've had somebody text in just now saying, golf courses are massive environmental polluters. What are we doing? Thanks.
I don't know if they're massive polluters. They're definitely good for stormwater and space for birds and stuff. I just sometimes wish local people had more access to them, like when they're not being used. Or maybe one day a week they got to walk around them or something.
And the Airbnb, a.k.a. the bed tax, pot of gold or problem?
I think it seems a bit of a problem at the moment, just the way what we're hearing. But Airbnb, the company or the group, sort of were happy to be involved, you know, involved in the accommodation targeted rate, because they are also providing accommodation to the city and up their prices when we put events on and things like that. The thing that I think they did miss was if they are the portion of their land, so it needs to be the whole house, so it might be a house on the same land as your home, the one you live in. If you're using the whole house or the whole building as, so it's not just a bedroom, as Airbnb, and you're using it the majority of the year, so I think it's like 129 days a year or something, you'd also be charged business rates instead of household rates, because you're using that. But just like anyone, like if you opened a hair salon or a mole map or a yoga place or something, you would be charged business rates on that part of your dwelling, or if you had the whole building and you transferred it into a business.
Is it getting a bit convoluted? Are there going to be loopholes where, you know, sneaky people can work around it, and there going to be people who are caught accidentally? Is it becoming a bit too hard basket, or is it something you still think is worth pursuing?
I talked to some of the finance team about it, and they said the other day they met with about 100 different people, and by the end most of them were happy because they understood it, and there's a whole lot of... So it's kind of the easiest way to do it, and maybe they should have done a more carrot approach than stick approach, but the easiest way to do it is to go and send people a letter and say, if you're using your whole land or the whole building for this is the 100% cost. What people have looked at is the bottom number. So, oh my gosh, this went up, but all they do is ring council and say, look, I only use it 30 days a year, and so it takes off the 70% of the charge or whatever. So people are getting the headline figure, freaking out, and then some are obviously ringing the media first, but that's fine. But it says very clearly, like, if you are unsure, call council. And there's been heaps of people that, oh, okay, it's actually $7,000 less than I thought it was going to be. Oh, I only use my one room in my house for that, so they're not then they won't be counted at all. So it's just one of those hard kind of teething problem things. As far as I know, most people are kind of walking away happier once they understand the change.
So hopefully with the right amount of education, and as long as it spreads throughout all the people it needs to spread through, it should be...
I mean, not many people like to pay more for stuff.
That's true.
Not everyone's going to be happy, but I think it's the fairness of including people who are using, you know, a building of their own for accommodation, just like a hotel and everyone else, so it catches kind of everyone. But obviously, a hotel would pay a lot more than just like a house.
Somebody's just texted in here saying you would also get a tax break if you were using part of the house for business. Hmm.
Yeah. So... But obviously those things don't get brought into the conversation when it's coming the other way. So, yeah, I mean, granted, it definitely, I said to the team, we could have done a lot better in this and maybe have gone for an opt-in as opposed to an opt-out. But I guess it's got people talking it. I guess if someone is concerned and think it's wrong, they're going to contact council straight away, which is what people have been doing, so...
Well, there's a good lesson for all of us. Hey, guys, just contact the council. That's what we pay them for. It's what they're there for. All right. Thank you, Richard Hills. Thank you for joining us. Is this our last time together, or will you be with us next week as well?
I'm not sure. If I talk to you again, I will. But if it's Phil, it's been nice. So
it's been lovely. And I'm sure our paths will electronically down the phone line meet again.
Definitely. I'll elbow the mayor out of the way every now and then.
Thank you very much.
Cool. See you later.
That was Civic Thrills with Richard Hills.